We are finishing up this series that we've been doing called Life Together, and about relationships, and I hope that it has been helpful to you and your relationships with your friends and with your coworkers and with family and all that kind of stuff. But that's not really what it's about, you know. It's helpful things for that stuff, but it's about our relationships with each other, with fellow Christians within the church, and those relationships are so important, more important than all the other ones, because God believes that the healing of the world can happen and will happen through the church. And as we accept the love of God and we love each other and we become a different kind of community that is marked by the presence of God, that the world will see that and want that love of God too, and want to be a part of that and want to be different, and that we will be the yeast that works through the dough, that will be the light in the darkness, that we will be the salt of the earth, and that this world, the healing of the world, will come through our relationships together. And so it's so important how we relate to each other. And the neat thing about this series to talk about is it's not a series about like, hey, here's a list of things that we need to do and to get right and to straight get on this stuff. Because years ago, we kind of sat down and we started writing. We are a church that is centered on Jesus, that we're centered on following Jesus, following the way of Jesus. And it works out differently sometimes here than it does in other places. And we just sat down one time and we just started writing what are the things that we see happening in the church and between relationships and things like that when everything's going well? And what are the things that have stopped happening when in those situations where we feel like the wheels are coming off a little bit, you know? And so for the most part, like, this is just stuff that we've been talking about for the last week that is already a part of the church. And so we're just kind of encouraging that stuff and pointing those things out. And inside your bulletin is a list of those kind of helpful practices together. And there's more of them outside on the little shelf as you're going out. It's also on our website and our welcome packets. But you see, most organizations, most groups of people, they have a line about, like, if you want to belong, you have to be like this. You know, or look like this, behave like this. And for churches, there might be some written ones, like doctrinal statements and theology and behavior and things. There might be some unwritten things of, like, you have to dress this way or have your hair parted on the left instead of the right or whatever it might be, you know. But church isn't the only thing that's like that. motorcycle clubs, like in here in Edgewood, there's a black motorcycle club. You know, there's also white motorcycle clubs. We just divide our whole 12-step groups. Those are, you have like white ones and black ones and rich neighborhoods and poor neighborhoods and all that kind of stuff. People just do that. We divide up and we have things that keep us that shape our community and our life together. But for us, things are different, because what holds us together is Jesus. Is Jesus. In this world where diversity has been a value that we've been holding up in the Western world for like 50, 60 years, maybe 40 years, different times in different places, we found out that diversity is divisive, you know? People get along through sameness, so we attract to sameness, and that's how it makes us feel comfortable. It makes us feel good, you know. Like I know I'm going to be able to relate to these people because they're just like me, and we'll have more commonality or something like that. But that's how that works. And so, actually finding diverse groups of people that actually love each other is unusual. And then you walk into a place, and you see people with very different backgrounds. Different races, different life stories, education levels, everything that you can think of. And you also sense love, I think, when you come into this room. And that's because we have Jesus at the center. And that forms all of our relationships. And that's what makes That's what breaks this rule that diversity is divisive. It's broken here because we all have love and commonality around this person of Jesus. But what about those times when we disagree with each other? Disagreements happen in all relationships. No? Okay. Not in the Hoyt household. They met each other. Yeah. Yeah. But everywhere else. Disagreements happen in every group of people. And some of that stuff is where you've been friends or you've been in relationship for a long time and you've been going down the road with each other for a long time. And then you just hit this disagreement. And then out of that disagreement, you just disagree so badly. You just handle that disagreement so badly that you're not friends anymore, that your marriage is falling apart, that the business partners have to part ways. And we kind of look back and we think, man, that relationship was of so much more value than the thing that we were disagreeing about. That relationship that we lost was of such more importance in my life than that thing that we were disagreeing about. And it's a tragedy that things came to this. It's so unfortunate that we are in this place. I'm sure anybody that has lived very long in this world has had relationships like that. People that you don't talk anymore. People well anymore. People that there's been a wet blanket thrown over that relationship. And one of the things that we learn from that is that how we disagree, hopefully we learn from this, is how we disagree is more important than often, almost always, than what we disagree about. How we disagree is almost always more important than what it is that we're disagreeing about. Happens with and in marriages. In marriage counseling, we talk about it's important to learn to fight well and to fight fair. Breaks up families, adult children, and their parents. Relationships gone on for a long time, and then this moment comes, this disagreement comes, and we just don't handle it well, and things fall apart. And this is true in the church, and it's true of even some of the best, the very, very best of Jesus followers. In the book that Sharon read from, the book of Acts, it's just after the time of the walking around Jesus part of the New Testament. And then you get to Acts, and the first 7 or 8 chapters, the main characters there is Peter and Paul, or Peter and John and James and those kind of guys. Those are the main characters. And then around chapter 8, chapter 9, we start switching, and the focus starts to shift to Paul and Barnabas, this guy Paul and Barnabas. And then it's Paul and Barnabas for a while, and they were amazing friends. Did a lot of stuff together, and actually the way that they started out is a really great story. Paul, his original name was Saul, and he kept himself busy persecuting Christians, hunting them down, getting them thrown in jail, having everything taken away, supervising their executions. He was the bounty hunter of early Christians. Scary guy. And then he's on the road to Damascus one day, and he sees this bright light, and he has this vision of Jesus, and he hears Jesus saying, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And out of that, Saul has this conversionary moment where he's no longer a persecutor of Christians, feeling like he's doing the right thing, you know, doing evil bad, but feeling like he's doing good. He's no longer that anymore, and he becomes a Christian, and his name becomes Paul. And so Paul comes out of that experience, and he's a different man. He's running in a different direction. But guess who doesn't know that? Everyone else, like all these people that he's been hunting down and killing. And he's saying, "Hey guys, I'm with you, I'm with you." They're like, "No, no, get away from me, I don't believe you. Hide the children, hide, go, go." And they're like, "No, I want to be a part of the church. I want to worship God with you." And like, "No." No one believes him. Everyone runs away. Everyone hides from him. It's a really rough start to being a Christian. But then there's this guy named Barnabas, who is known in the church to be very loving and very gracious and very kind and well revered by everybody. And Barnabas, being who Barnabas is, he gives Paul a chance. They go out to coffee. They go out to lunch. So like, well, let's talk. You know, if you don't kill me here, we're meeting in a public and safe place, and you don't kill me, and we'll talk. You know, and out of that conversation, out of that encounter, Barnabas feels convinced that like this is the real deal. Paul is really not Saul anymore, and so Barnabas vouches for him and leads him into the church, introduces him to the church leaders. Nobody kills anyone. It's wonderful. And then from then on out, it's Paul and Barnabas. They get sent on missionary journeys together, and they do a lot of stuff together. And they travel around the Mediterranean world telling people how much God loves them, of what Jesus has done for them, teaching people the way of Jesus, starting churches. They face persecution together. They get run out of cities together. Paul and Barnabas. And then they come to this meeting that, Sharon, where'd that scripture go? I'm going to read that again. They come to this point. Thank you, ma'am. Will you go back to that slide? I'm just going to read this again. Not that Sharon didn't do a good job, but it's worth reading twice. So sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let's go back and visit the believers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they're doing." Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them, but Paul did not think it wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had to continue with them in the work, and had not continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left. Commended by the believers to the grace of the Lord, he went through Syria, Cilicia, strengthening the churches. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted ways. And this is it. They had been together for years, Paul and Barnabas. And then this thing comes up of like, do we take John Mark with us? Well, John Mark had traveled with them for a little bit, and then at some point he went back to Jerusalem, and then he wanted to come back. And we don't have any more details than that, but we know that Paul and Barnabas, big relationship. And from what we can tell in this, comparatively smaller disagreement. And that there was no more Paul and Barnabas after this. And these were guys that knew better. These are people that they were teachers in the early church. They were teaching people the way of Jesus about humility and self-sacrifice and self-giving love. They were teaching people how to get along in the church. They were starting churches. So they knew better. They knew that how we disagree is more important than what we disagree on almost all of the time. They knew better. And you and I, most of the time, we know better, right? Like we look back and we think, I knew better. We know that how we disagree, the things that we say when we're mad, when we're angry, when we see differences there, how we handle them is almost always more important than the thing that we're actually fighting over. We know it. But sometimes we get it wrong. Sometimes we don't give each other the space to be different. Sometimes we don't give each other space to be have a different opinion. We lose sight of the fact that we can be okay when not everybody sees everything the same way that we do. You know, sometimes it makes us feel better about ourselves and our ideas if we can get enough people around us that see things exactly the way that we do and say, "Hey, you're right, you're right, you're right. That's fine, that's fine, that's fine, that's right." You know, but that's not good for us. And it's okay. Like, we can be okay when people see things differently than we do. You know, we're okay. Keep breathing. We'll be fine. And sometimes we lose sight of the fact that we are all human beings and that we are all wrong sometimes. Wrong. You listen to my preaching long enough and you'll have notes on that stuff. Just all wrong sometimes. That sometimes we're irritable. Sometimes we're cranky. Sometimes we're just unlovely. All of us are, because we're all human beings. So sometimes we need to do this thing that I got from this old movie called What About Bob, where we just kind of hang up and try again, you know? Hey, so-and-so's had, like, that was a bad moment, you know? But I'm going to hang up and we'll try again later, you know? But we lose sight that we all need space. Space to be human. Space to be wrong. Space to be different. Sometimes we forget some of those handy teachings of Jesus that we've talked about over the last few weeks. Like when we start wondering about other people and having opinions about other people. And we forget that Jesus says, what is that to you? Follow me. What is that to you? Follow me. What is that to you? Follow me. Sometimes we forget that we are responsible for our own actions and our own attitudes and our own happiness. And we can't blame somebody else for, well, they said this, so then I said this. Well, they did this, so we're responsible for the us parts, you know? And we know that, but we forget sometimes. Sometimes we forget whose we are, and we start to get a little puffed up. And we start playing that who's better game, who's the greatest game, you know? And we start comparing, and we make up our own imaginary scale the way that Carrie talked about last time. Well, in my world, in my mind, you know, in this scenario, I'm the king of the mountain. We do crazy stuff. We start comparing. We get puffed up. Sometimes we forget to pray for each other and pray together. Sometimes we just forget to love each other. And the kind of relationships or non-relationships that begin happening don't look a lot like love and don't look a lot like Jesus, because we lose our way sometimes. And this happens, and friends stop being friends, and people stop coming to church, and people say things that they wish that they hadn't said, and do things that they wish that they hadn't done. And this happens in everywhere, not just in church. It happens in groups. It happens with friends. It happens in motorcycle clubs, businesses. It happens everywhere. But the really, really great thing about this place is that more often than not, we get that stuff right. We get that stuff right. That's why we're here. It's why this beautiful community that we have here works, and why it's growing, and why there's love here, and so much beauty. Most of the time, we remember that how we disagree is more important than the things that we are disagreeing about. It's why in a world that we see every day that diversity is divisive, that when we come here that we see something different. It's because we are people that love God. We know that we need God. We know that God loves us. And we are striving to become like the God that we follow. And that is shaping us. That is shaping us. So here's the cool thing. Early on in our church, people flipped out sometimes when they talked about the kind of, like, we're just going to follow Jesus. And they said, that's not enough. You have to have doctrinal statements, and you have to have this and that, so you know who's in and who's out. And how do you know when to kick somebody out and when to let them in? And, you know, our only two rules here, really, on that stuff is, like, you cannot be a threat to somebody, you know, to people, and you can't continue to steal stuff, you know? So those are just, like, basic human survival things. We just, you know. But beyond that, people thought, like, just following Jesus isn't enough. Because how do you get people to get along, you know? How do you say what's okay and what's not? Well, guess what? Here we are years later, and it works. And that as we are following Jesus, nobody had to have this list of like 8 or 9 things and memorize and try and practice that and live that out and do spiritual yoga or something to make this stuff happen. We just follow Jesus. And that as we love God and as we continue individually and as a group trying to live out this way of Jesus and trying to let the life of God live and breathe in us, that it affects who we are and it changes who we are. And then we have a loving community where people are different and that it's okay. See in Jesus how there is space for people and that we give space to people. We get to see how, you know what, I really messed that one up today. And I'm going to remember that the next time that somebody else messes something up. And I'm going to be gracious to them. We fall down and we get back up again. It's the way of Jesus, you know. That Jesus is enough. It's what makes our life together so beautiful. It's what makes it work. And it's one of the main things that God is hanging the hopes on, that this world will be different, because as God infuses God's life into this community of faith, that the world will be different. It seems crazy. Seems crazy to me a lot of times. When I look out at you and I think, this is the plan, this is the rescue team, you know. But God believes it, so. But God believes it, yeah. But it seems to be working. So we have so much to be grateful for, that we get to be a part of something that God is doing, that God is building, and that God is teaching us to relate to each other and to love each other differently than what we otherwise would have. We have so much to be thankful for in our life together. Let's pray.